Okay, we're back in open session. We're going to consider a motion again. Do we have it up on the screen now?
Yes.
Okay, there it is. I see it now. Okay, we're looking to approve or make a motion to approve Armando Garza and Ken Haven as qualified to serve as trustees pursuant to the requirements of Article 623A-1 and pursuant to the trustee election procedures. As the sole candidates for their respective position, each is approved to as a trustee for a three-year term effective September 1st, 2020. Do I have a motion to approve that?
Yes, Nick, I'll make the motion.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Do we have a second?
This is Steve, second.
Thanks, Steve. I don't know, Armando, you probably want to recuse yourself. But does anybody oppose it? No. Armando, do you want to go on record as recusing yourself? Or?
No, I'm recusing myself.
Okay, so that would be the final. Other than Armando, it's approved. Okay, thank you. Now, look, back in open session, you want to just quickly repeat what you were saying, Nick, and we can talk about it?
Sure. I referenced two pages. One is page 22 of the Siegel report. I don't know if that's the Diligent or the Siegel page number. It's the page that staff referenced that has the key ratios and it was sort of you're up right there. So it shows the impact. And I think that the big numbers that people look at are, and I assume that the 46.74 January 1st, 2020 preliminary evaluation results, if someone looks at our year-end report, Kelly, is that right? That's the number they'll see as basically the funded ratio?
Well, there's a ton of numbers in there, but that's the one that they typically reference. And
yeah,
just,
okay.
And your point was good, and I meant to make that. This was based on the values that we had in place when Siegel ran this, and it doesn't include any impact to Huff or Lone Star. We don't have their 12/31 numbers. It also doesn't include any of the, first quarter impacts, which it won't include those. But one thing I do want to say is if you're looking at that line 9, whatever losses we have in 2020, that number will only reflect 20% of those losses, so it won't go down quite as much. But the real number that I always try to look at is line 10, and that will show the full amount of the loss. So you're right.
Okay, but so in our in the 2019 report that you'll issue, what would be that number?
The dates are confusing. So I don't know what that number will be for the 1/1/20 valuation, which is the 12/31/19, because we don't have the real values for Huff or Lone Star yet. So I don't know.
Okay.
Well, the liability will be $4,825,000. The assets we don't know because we don't have those valuations, but it likely won't have that adjustment for the February-March period because those values, it'll be as of December 31st before the crash.
Okay, but if someone pulls the comprehensive annual financial report for December 2019, it'll be a number that should be approximately 45-46%, right?
Well, that's if Huff and Lone Star stay the same, and I don't expect Huff to stay the same. I expect that to have a write down, but I didn't want to guess what that number was.
Okay.
So
knowing
the numbers that we knew at the time.
Okay, but knowing that uncertainty, then if you look at the thing that you did it shows page 57 where you took the May 31st, 2020 market value of assets, and it says in this view, staff has adjusted private equity values to roughly estimate the impact from lower oil prices and COVID-19, and it takes it down to $1,725,000,000. And so, not knowing how our liability changed over the 5 months, but assuming it didn't change that much, I just wanted to flag for everyone that takes our MVA basis funded ratio down to about 34%. Because that's such a big difference, I just wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of that. It, just from an observation standpoint, I really don't have a comment on it, other than that's what it is. But then if you sort of think about it from a comment or standpoint, you know, that's a significant change from something that might be in the mid-40s. If you just take 34 over 45, that's a, you know, about a 25% decrease in a negative bad direction. So I don't have a suggestion. I don't have, it's just an observation, and I think it's one that we need to at least all know is there. Someone could flag it, and it's something we would have to sort of say, you know, talk through in terms of we think we're making all the right decisions and heading this in the right direction, but that number really sticks out, in my opinion.
Yeah, and right now that's just staff's estimate. Time will tell whether that's right or not. I mean, we also have the rest of the year. I mean, this is an interim period, so I don't think this number is, you know, that funding ratio number isn't out there really. But, yeah, no, that's what it is. If that's what it is, it is, and we'll have to deal with it.
This is Kent. I really appreciate Nick's perspective on that, and I think it is helpful to kind of keep this kind of downside scenario in mind. And I'll just iterate that this particular number was generated kind of for a rebalancing perspective. It's not a quick and dirty exercise to kind of think about what our allocation and the asset class allocations look like if these valuations come in. And so it's not something that we spend days and days on. It's our best guess, but I do want to kind of just note kind of the limitations of what that number is. Not in any way kind of arguing or detracting from Nick's point, which I agree with.
Yeah, and I agree with Nick's point too. And I, you know, the impact to the values for all of our assets for the first quarter actually won't even be reflected until the next year's valuation. But I do agree that these numbers are probably higher than probably we will have when we actually get the numbers, because I think we all believe that HUF was written up last year and probably will be written down this year. We don't know what extent that will be. We don't even know if that's true, but I think your point is a good one, Nick, that these numbers as reflected here are based on what we know for sure at the time Siegel did this work, but likely will have bad news, not good news. Yes, it's related to the numbers.
Yeah, and so my point is that we as fiduciaries and you know the senior staff who all you know, believe and want a great outcome here, we need to be prepared to deal with the reality that we will be potentially labeled as a fund with a funded ratio in, say, the mid-30s, or that's where it looks like it's headed. Kent, I fully hear what you're saying, that you know, these are preliminary numbers, but I doubt you have a better number than this, even though this doesn't meet the standard of what something you would sign off on, and that if we get lumped in a category with other pension funds that have funded ratios in and around the same number, we have to be prepared to deal with that with all the stakeholders, the legislature, the current officers and firemen, the retirees, you know, and we just can't be surprise 6, 9, 12 months from now saying, oh my gosh, I didn't know the numbers were this bad.
Yep. I agree. Okay, anything else anybody wants to mention? I don't know, Josh, we had on our agenda the Investment Advisory Committee So I think I can we can talk about this, but I did get back a note from Ray Nixon saying he is going to resign from that committee because he can't make the meetings. So we need to go to work on filling that position.
Okay.
We'll be able to do that, Bill.
Okay. We can. We will chat. Okay. Anything else anybody wants to raise before we adjourn? Not hearing anything. Can I? We get a motion to adjourn?
So moved from Gilbert.
Thank you, Gilbert. Next, second?
Tina, second.
Okay. Anybody opposed? Okay, we are adjourned then. Thank you.